Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
True Hauntings is a Frightfully Good production.
Ghost Adventures investigated Bobby Mackey's music world, a former slaughterhouse infamous for its gateway to hell in Wilder, Kentucky, back in 2008.
In episode 132, we opened the doors to this most haunted site to explore the stories and to look for the truth. But the truth can get complicated, especially when you are not quite sure where the truth stops and the myths begin. Hi, I'm Renata.
And I'm Anne. And in this week's episode, we head back to the Honky Tonk Bar to dive a little more deeply into the legend that is Bobby Mackey's Music World Hall.
Anne and Renata have been investigating paranormal occurrences for the past 20 years. They have been at the center of various unexplained phenomena and have witnessed countless ghostly experiences. The duo now turn to high-profile cases that have attracted the eyes of the world. Between the dimensions we see and the dimensions we don't, supernatural forces are at play. Evil lurks within the shadows of our homes and in the darkest corners of our minds. It follows us like a shadow, forever. This is where nightmares become reality. This is True Hauntings.
Later, we were down in the basement, and me and Aaron were just standing there, and it started talking about me. It started saying, "Zach, your dad. Z-Man." My dad calls me Z-Man, and there's no way anyone could have known that except those closest to me. From there, it went to Aaron, and it started saying a bunch of shit to him about his marriage. It started poking fun at him. That's when Aaron collapsed, rushed out, and went to a little closet upstairs and started crying the hardest I've ever seen him cry. I knew something was wrong. When he went up there, myself and Matt Coates, the 250-pound bodyguard head of security, went upstairs to where Bishop James was. Matt and I weren't feeling like ourselves. We wanted to basically murder and kill everyone in that place. We both just wanted to kill everyone who we saw and rip their hearts out. At one point, I'd gone down into the basement again with a girl named Nancy, who I had never met before. We were down there investigating before any of this stuff had happened. She and I both saw this thing. This thing shot out of this dressing room and it ran towards the back wall. What was cool was me and her both saw the same thing. This thing was ducking its head. It didn't look human. It was ducking its head and it looked at us with these bright, huge amber eyes. It just glided across the floor into the darkness. I've seen my best friend Aaron be victimized so severely to the point where I became beyond concerned. That was incredibly scary. It hit him hard. That wasn't a fun time, and I knew that something bad was having an effect on us, and it stemmed from that place. I hope everything is okay now, but really, I'm done with everything concerning that place. People watch this shit on TV as it's perceived to be entertainment, but this show is about our lives. It's about our passion. We didn't audition for this show. We were not actors.
Well, Anne, after that tirade from Zach, where do we go from here?
Well, I think you better tell people where you got that from. I think it was from dreadcentral.com, and it was about Zach. Yes, the Zach Bagans, from Ghost Adventures, and he was talking about the Hell's Gate at Bobby Mackey's Music World.
Yes, and this was their very first lockdown for that show, Ghost Adventures.
Yep.
And that happened around 2008.
A long time ago. In Bethlehem.
So what, 15 years, about 15 years ago? So
that's crazy.
How much has changed in that show since then? And when I came upon this and read it, I was a little bit astounded by what Zach was saying.
People watch this shit on TV.
Yeah, as if it's entertainment.
Yeah.
But it's our lives, our passion. We didn't audition for this show.
We're not actors.
We're not actors. Okay. Very interesting.
Yeah. Now, I have to be totally honest here. We decided we were going to do a part two on this one, and life got away from me, and I have done very little work on part two, and it all got a little much, didn't it, Renata?
The story got a little bit much, as has happened in previous episodes. We thought that this was going to be easy peasy, a piece of cake, but when you start to dig and look for the truth, then it becomes, as we said, complicated.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about it is that the more I dug around to try and find alternative answers and alternative stories, I came upon, and I said that twice, I came upon a group of wonderful people in America. Now, I'm giving a huge shout out to this group because they have given us some fabulous information with the work that they have done. And this is the Military Veterans Paranormal Group. Military Veterans Paranormal. Now, they have a podcast, but this was a report. I got some information from a report that I found online where they did detailed work on Bobby Mackey's.
Boy, did they what?
And it took them over a year. They went in and did EMF tests. They brought in electricians. They went to a scientist. They gave them data and asked for explanations. Now, this scientist has talked about how EMF can affect different people and how what they actually discovered at Bobby Mackey's may have led to some of the findings that these people have have found. They explain about temporal lobe epilepsy, which may be something that affected one of the people within the story and led to some interesting information. We'll talk about that in a minute. They did a geological assessment.
That's crazy.
They did
detail.
Visual data. They had a data logger. They had an audio data. They went back in history and had a really good look at the site and the building itself. I just looked at this and I had to send him an email and go, my goodness, this is absolutely amazing. And we do want to reference some of this work. And I just felt that it was a responsible thing to do to actually ask if we could use some of this because it's amazing.
Yeah. And they very kindly said, absolutely, yes.
And sent us more.
Yeah. but I haven't had that great of a week, and it's been a struggle for me. So, Renata, thank you so much for picking up the pieces of me that you sort of picked up as I felt a bit down the hallway and kept me going. So, really, I have to give Renata the nod on this one. She has done all the work. Now, before we go any further, we need to explain a few things as well. Renata.
Okay. So, it's
you can still talk. I'm. It's just so you all know, this is now after 10 o'clock at night that we are recording this. We have already done a three-hour each-way road trip with my car breaking down and overheating, mm-hmm. and then coming back and doing interviews for tour guides. Mm-hmm. And I
went off to
and
do
you did a tour as a well. Tour. And this is the only time we had left before we leave on Thursday afternoon, because you're working for the next 2 days.
Yes.
And we can't record this without each other.
Yes, yes. And this has been a consistent problem over the last couple of weeks, and it is going to be a consistent problem over the next few months until we hit Christmas and New Year. Our
dance card is full.
Is crazy. And we can't say no to anything. We just can't. So,
well, I mean, we've had added complications in there as well. Your husband hasn't been well and my father died. So, yes. I mean, it's not a great combination. But yeah. We are struggling to get everything done we need to get done.
And, you know, when we do these podcasts, we want them to be the best effort we can give it at that time. And we don't want to push through and just
do a half-assed
stuff without really thinking about what we are putting out, because we are genuinely really passionate about the podcast. And we hear all the time how you all love the podcast, so we don't want to disappoint.
And we don't want to lose our audience by producing basically shit content.
Yes. Yeah. So we have decided that...
it's okay. Don't worry. We're not cancelling it.
From this episode, we are going to be producing a fortnightly True Hauntings podcast. So every second week, just until we get through to Christmas and New Year's, and then we will recover and see how we go and how things are going. It may give us enough time to create a buffer of episodes.
Yeah, we need to see. That's my cat. She's attacking the Timu stuff on the floor down there. We're trying to pre-record for us going to Norfolk next week. We're trying to pre-record for New Orleans that's coming up, and then also record the shows that we had every week as well. And it was just... with everything that's going on in our lives, it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
So we know we'll take a pay cut from this, and that's okay. We're self-funded. We know there will be a couple of episodes we're going to lose money every fortnight. That's okay. But we want to produce the best content we can for you guys. So this is going to be a shorter episode tonight because we have not had time to prepare it. Especially me, and I apologise. But I hope you do enjoy the information that this paranormal team has brought to your MVP. We'll refer to them from now on. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for letting us access your content.
Mm-hmm. Now, we will actually be putting something out every week, but it will be an alternate True Hauntings podcast and Diary of a Ghost Hunter.
Yep.
So there will still be something going up, and we do hope that you listen to both, and you will also know when we are ready to go weekly again.
Yeah. In the meantime, if you want to show your appreciation for the work that we do, please consider becoming one of our Patreons, one of the Grand Pooh Bars. They get all the behind-the-scenes tears. And or you can buy us a cup of coffee. Just go to Buy Me a Coffee, Anne and Renata, and you'll find it there. And for $5, we'll share a cup of coffee quite happily. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, let's get on with it.
Yes. Right. So one of the big things with this story was the Pearl Bryan murder case, and how that murder case attached itself to Bobby Mackey's.
Yes.
And the strange thing about it is that this murder case was in the newspapers. It was written up for anyone who wanted to find information about it. You could read about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah. When
it was actually hotly followed.
Yes.
It was like the news of the day. Everybody wanted a bit of Pearl.
Huge news of the day.
If you remember from our last episode, they literally wanted a bit of Pearl.
They literally wanted a bit of Pearl.
Yeah.
Heading out to where she was found and
trying to find the leaves with her blood on it.
Yes, exactly.
Which was not at Bobby Mackey's.
Not at Bobby Mackey's. But the link was that this poor, lovely, beautiful woman was decapitated, and the belief was that her head was shoved down the gate to hell or portal to hell or whatever it was.
Yes.
And that was where,
at the slaughterhouse,
possibly her head disappeared, never to be found again. And that is true. Problem is that when you actually look at the site of Bobby Mackey's, and again, this beautiful team, MVP, did go and check out the well, and there are three wells.
Yes.
Well, well, well.
Well, well, well.
And
you've been dying to do that, haven't you? You've seen that and gone, oh, this is my moment to get a laugh.
I know. I had a look at it right there and I went, oh, let's use that. And it's not like a sinkhole. It doesn't sort of go down into nothingness. It is a series of pipes.
Yes, loose.
That take water and refuse out.
But the interesting thing, these guys are saying there was a slaughterhouse there and they've got the documents to prove there was, whereas last week I was looking at a different one,
mm-hmm,
and they had land maps and things showing that it was a different slaughterhouse.
Mm-hmm.
So there must have been two slaughterhouses there.
This was only supposed to be a very small one.
Yeah, there was one that was supposed to be like a mum and pop one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This place had three different wells. They've been in all of them. They follow them out to where they possibly were, out into the environment. And in all cases, it is totally impossible for a head to float.
Oh, so it wouldn't fit.
It fitted. It would fit, but it couldn't float off anywhere. It would, if it went down there.
The head would still be there.
The head would still be there.
Ah.
The head would still be there. I think it's pretty impossible for any animal to crawl in and take it, which is another possibility. Could have been taken off into the forest or surrounding area, but no. And the other thing about it is that it was only one person who actually killed.
Yeah, the evidence.
Pearl.
That, yeah, it looked like there was only one person that's killed her.
Yes.
Which then, as this team have said, debunks the claim that there were two people that did it as part of a ritual.
Ritual, yes.
Now, you also mentioned that it was in the papers, and this team have collected all the paper clippings and they've put them all in, mm-hmm, that folder and sent it to us.
Yep.
There's no mention of satanic stuff in any of those stuff, and that would be hot news.
Oh, absolutely. Could you just imagine that being blown up?
Yeah, yeah. But it's interesting to know where that information came from.
Hmm.
And this and is I, where
I think we have
get a
one
sinkhole.
Source. I think we have one source.
Yes, and it's a pickle source.
And it's sad that that one source was a gentleman who came up to Bobby Mackey when he started in the hall and said, hey, I know all about this place and I'm happy to work here and I'll tell you all the stories and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And we know who that is.
Yeah. So there was the former caretaker at Bobby Mackey's was someone called Carl Lawson. And if I remember correctly, he was in that episode of Ghost Adventures. I'm just trying to remember off the top of my head. But it seems to be that he claimed there are demonic spirits there. who told him about Pearl. And the demonic spirits told him that she was actually murdered as part of a satanic ritual, and her head was thrown in the well as a sacrifice. And it was all documented.
Yes.
In a book.
Yes. It was all dictated as well by Carl.
Yes.
So the gentleman that actually wrote the book, which is, what's it called again? Hell's Gate.
Terror at Bobby Mackey's Music World by Doug Hensley.
Yes, yes. Carl gave him all the information for that book.
Mm.
So there was no other source.
Yeah, now Hensley apparently interpreted the story told to him by Carl. That's what their notes were saying there, that he's interpreted it. So does that mean he's put his twist onto it as well?
Well, yes. Yes.
Hmm. Now, remember, guys, we don't go to the source to find the information. We dig through things on the internet and try to pull together the story from various sources. So we're not handling the first, first person document type thing. So we just find this fascinating.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's no evidence whatsoever to support that happened.
Mm. So no satanic ritual. Let's kind of cross that off the list. No head being deposited down a gateway to hell. And we have this fellow who may well have had experiences.
Yeah, don't forget, Carl was also claimed he was demonically possessed.
Yes.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
And that exorcism is online. You can actually watch it.
Yeah.
There have been people who have sat and watched the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to. It was really hard to... the positioning of both people was difficult. Carl was in a lot of, like, darkness. He more or less most of the time spent with his head in his hands, and there was nothing in the part that I saw that had him seem like he was possessed.
Well, there's certain things that sort of tick the boxes of a typical possession, according to Christianity and the signs. And as the team pointed out, where was it up there? Didn't show any of the classic signs. He didn't need to be restrained. He didn't show superhuman strength. And it seemed to happen quite quickly.
Mm. Yeah.
He didn't levitate. He didn't speak in foreign tongues.
No, he sat with his hands.
No altered voices.
With his head in his hands. And
so who decided he was possessed?
Mm. I don't know.
And there was also a mention in one of the articles that there may have been a problem with alcohol.
Yes. And this is where this temporal lobe thing comes from. We have some information again from MVP that talks about how EMF and other things, other medical conditions, can have an effect on the brain.
Mm-hmm.
So we're kind of not saying...
And substance abuse.
And substance abuse. We're not kind of saying at all that Carl didn't have experiences, but his experience may well, his experiences may well have been coloured by his mental state, his alcoholism, and whether that actually did affect his temporal lobe and made him see things, feel things, or affect his brain function. And it kind of was just him and nobody else.
You would think that somewhere along the line, somebody would go, let's check out the information of what he's giving us and see if anything matches up. Because there's really nothing but his word. And for him, it may be very real. He may have felt that Pearl came to speak to him and told him about all the... He could have been having hallucinations and it would have been very real to him. I don't know if there was any nefarious reasonings for why he said what he did. Yeah. I think he believed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's actually quite heartbreaking.
It is. And him living there... It was like, because he did, he lived at Bobby Mackey's. He would have been right near the bar. What a temptation.
I know, right? For you and me? No.
Wow. Yeah. That's just hard.
Oh, my white cat is in here and she is just annoying the living daylights out of me. I think she wants biscuits.
Right. So we've kind of looked at Pearl. There is also this story of Johanna.
Oh, yes.
And
Johanna Jules.
Yes, Johanna Jules. And one of the things that is interesting is that it was at the time when there were mobsters and things around and...
mobsters and moles.
And Johanna was apparently the daughter of the owner. And she was a dancer.
Sorry, I just got attacked by the cat.
And what they're kind of saying is that dancers in the early 20th century were not very well respected. And Johanna allegedly lived at home with her parents. So, you know, during this time... any woman that would have lived at home with her parents was either not married or she did not have a job. So a job as a dancer in a casino wouldn't have been looked at very, very well by any good God-fearing person. If you were the daughter and working as a dancer, I'd say... Dad would not be very pleased. Yeah. And if he was scared of being attacked or the mob coming around and pressuring him for something, do you think he would let his daughter be in that bar?
No.
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 Absolutely not.
And there was a the talk of a journal. And there is no proof anywhere that that journal actually exists. The love poem that was allegedly written by Johanna on the wall of Bobby Mackey's, the team said it's actually a verse from a song called Never by Tony Arden, and it was released in 1951. Oop, Danana.
Yep. So, again, and Carl was the one who supposedly uncovered the diary or the journal.
Which nobody can find.
Which nobody can find.
Isn't there a religion based on that? Oh, sorry. I went there again. I'm going to get myself into trouble again.
Bobby Mackie actually wrote a song, Johanna. I just want to quote this bit here too. HauntedUS.com states, none of the Cleveland mobsters nor any proprietors of the clubs before Bobby Mackie's had daughters named Johanna. There is a record of a Johanna Reagan committing suicide by poisoning in the area. She is recorded as having died in 1914, long before the property's use as a tavern, and did not die at the property. Not to mention that strange discrepancies kept coming across. Online sources say that Johanna's story unfolded in the 50s, while most TV shows and Bobby Mackie himself say that it was the 30s during the Primrose Club era.
Mm-hmm.
In truth, much of the supposed hauntings surrounding Bobby Mackie's music world are based purely on rumour and legend. Regardless, strange and unexplained activity continues in the building to this day and has been reported and even captured by reputable visitors and employees throughout the years.
Yeah.
So that is from, again, hauntedus.com.
So we've got paranormal teams going in and getting evidence of the ghosts. Are they getting Johanna, or are they seeing someone else and assuming it's Johanna? And Pearl.
Yes, and Pearl.
But apparently they've seen headless ghosts.
Now, do you know that there was actually a claim against Bobby Mackie's by a fellow that was punched and kicked by a ghost?
Oh, no.
It was a lawsuit.
No, tell me, do.
So this comes from allensmysteriousworld.wordpress.com, and it's Strange Lawsuits. Now, the plaintiff was J.R. Costigan, and the defendant was Bobby Mackie's Music World. And the lawsuit says, Costigan claimed a ghost punched and kicked him while he was using the bar's restroom one night in 1993. He sued the bar, asking for $1,000 in damages and demanding that a sign be put up in the restroom warning of the ghost's presence. The club's lawyer filed a motion to dismiss the case, citing the difficulty of getting the ghost into court to testify for the defence, and the verdict was case dismissed.
Yes, thrown out, I think it is. Wow. And only wanted $1,000. You think they would have gone for more than that?
Now, you're in a bar. You're being served lots of alcohol.
Lots of spirits? It was the spirits that did it, I tell you.
Yeah.
He's probably tripped over his own feet and smacked his face on the sink and gone, it was a ghost. It beat me up.
Yeah.
Give me money. Oh, dear. Mm. But they went as far, the team, to get in some linguistic professors. Did you read about that?
No.
Yeah, they said they talked to two professors who were linguistic professors at Austin Peay State University. They analysed the alleged journal entries from Johanna. And this was apparently dictated by Carl Lawson.
Mm-hmm.
There are several issues with the authenticity of the entries, although both recognise that the entries were more likely paraphrased by Lawson. The content itself is what is in question. And that's when they go on talking about how they were living at home. But they've analysed it.
Mm-hmm.
So Johanna told Carl the story to write it down. Is this what is meant to have happened? Because I'm confused. It says, analyze the alleged journal entries from Johanna as dictated by Carl Lawson.
Right.
So has she told Carl what to write?
Mm.
So, of course, it's going to be Carl's words, isn't it?
But she would have had to appear to him to tell him what to write.
I suppose when did she die? Was he around? Because he said he's been around
the '30s or the '50s.
Maybe not. I don't think the timelines match up there either. So does that mean Carl channeled it?
He must have. But I've got another little.
I think Carl's been a naughty boy.
I've got another little tidbit.
Oh,
now
yes, Carl.
Do you remember the name of Johanna's lover?
Was it Red?
Yeah, but his full name or his Red name Masterton? Was Robert Randall.
Robert Randall.
Robert Randall.
Yeah.
Do you know that Bobby Mackie's full name is Robert Randall Mackie?
Hang on.
Yeah.
How does that fit?
It's the same name as Johanna's supposed lover.
But isn't he there now?
Well, without the Mackie, but let me just read you this bit here. Okay, so this again, this is residualwhispers .wordpress.com. Okay, so this is from this. Bobby Mackie's full name is Robert Randall Mackie. That's right, the same as Johanna's supposed lover. This has led some in the spiritual community to believe that Bobby Mackie is the reincarnation of Robert Randall.
Oh, God.
And that fate has led him back to both her and the building.
Sorry, my eyes just rolled. My eyes just completely did a 360 in their sockets. Oh, no.
Oh, talk about putting things together. But this is how this stuff turns into these stories.
Yeah. And there's a whole business with merch.
Yes.
Now, surrounding. Now, as the other lady had said last week, she wasn't saying the place isn't haunted. She said it is quite possibly haunted, but there are a couple of characters. It's been completely fabricated. There is no reason why these characters would be in this location.
Yeah.
One being Pearl.
Yep.
She was the murder didn't take place there. The head wasn't thrown down the well. She wasn't near this area.
Yeah.
And Johanna seems to be completely fabricated.
Yeah.
Well,
but why are they sticking to those stories when there could be other more interesting things?
Oh, who's interested in the truth, Renata?
Look,
I think there's a T-shirt in that. Who's interested in the truth?
Well, apparently there were many deaths around the area when sort of it was taken over by the bikies.
Oh.
So, you know, but there's – and that's the issue that we find too when we're discussing these things or when we're telling these stories. If there isn't a juicy enough story attached to it – then the likelihood is as
they'll baste it with something good to make it better.
Yeah, as a haunting, it doesn't have the, you know,
guts.
The guts. Oh, a person died here. You know, there was a car accident out the front and a person died. Okay.
No, a girl was stolen and beheaded and there were satanic rituals done with it and her head was never found.
Yeah.
It's far more interesting.
That's correct.
And the ghost hunters out there need to stop spreading this absolute bullcrap out. It's so frustrating because when you're trying to present yourself in the mundane world as trying to be logical and scientific, and then there's all this crap.
Yeah. Can I just tell you story?
One
last story. This one comes from creepycincinnati.com.
You have done some work.
I have. And this is regarding a curse that was placed on the site by Walling at the gallows.
Oh, this is good. You might be able to roll my eyes back out of this socket.
He was one of the two men alleged to be in on the murder of Pearl, right? So they actually had photos that were in the paper of these two men going up to the gallows.
Yeah, that was a great photo they had. Yep. We'll see if we can get that and put it onto the...
And
it might be a little bit late getting there, but we'll get it up there eventually onto the Facebook page.
And they described the whole horrible scene of these two men being hanged at the very same time and them writhing on the end of the rope. It's all written up in all of its gory glory. But I'm just going to tell you this.
T-shirt, so,
allegedly, there was a curse that was placed on the site by Walling at the gallows. One news clipping states that Jackson admitted and wrote a statement saying that Walling was innocent of Brian's murder, that's Pearl, and that he was the only one that did it the night before he was hanged. That's what he admitted, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, however, at the gallows, when asked for his last statement, Jackson stated, "I have only this to say. I am not guilty of the crime for which I am now compelled to pay the penalty of my life. It is alleged that Alonzo Walling's last words were that he would haunt the location forever. However, that statement is false. In fact, he said nothing as he was expecting Jackson to state he was innocent of the crime he was being sentenced to death for."
Yeah. Yep.
Right. So it's all written down.
Yes. Yes.
It's all reported in the newspapers.
But let's not look at that. It doesn't make a good enough story.
And again, we probably could have found more, but we just didn't have the time. And again, thank you very much to the Military Veterans Paranormal for the information.
Awesome work. I can't wait to look at some more of the cases.
Yeah. But if you...
We'd like to meet up with you guys if we ever come over that way, so...
Oh, absolutely. If you're truly interested in this stuff, do us a favour and go one step further and dig a little, because sometimes the truth is much better than the stories that are created, really, when you find the information.
Yeah.
I think it's respectful to those that have passed on these sites to actually look for who they are rather than perpetuate stories about people who never existed in the first place.
Yeah. You done, Renata?
I think so.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate the extra effort you've gone to this week to help cover it. And, guys, we will be back in a fortnight with a new episode. We thank you for your understanding. I also want to thank you all for the lovely kind words that you have sent. It does mean a lot to me that you have reached out. But now we've got to go pack. Our lives are insane. Thank you for being here. Oh, is it a true haunting, Renata?
I think it probably has some elements of hauntings, but I don't think that the people that they think are haunting it are really haunting it.
I think they may have created some thought forms and created some of these hauntings.
Yep. Yep.
I would still like to go there. Apparently Kentucky is beautiful. Mm-hmm. I would love to go visit the state. But again, thank you to MVP. You guys are the best. I hope I got that right. My brain is mush.
Yes.
We're going to say good night. Au revoir. And we'll see you in 2 weeks' time, or you can hear us in 2 weeks' time. In the meantime, stay spooky.
Be frightfully good.
See you on the dark side. And
don't be a dickhead.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of True Hauntings. If you like the show, give us a 5-star rating and leave a review. Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you're listening right now. For more on Anne and Renata, follow at Anne and Renata on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or visit their website, www.anneandrenata.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.